across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
Very exciting. Dean from Jan and Dean is coming on the show in a few minutes. And I don't know which song to start with. There's too many songs. I will make a decision during the news. 08444991000. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Comes that popsicle man. Buy one for me and one for my chick. A lot of good eating on a popsicle stick.
Popsicle.
But if you wanna keep cool, it does a trick. And it comes on a stick. Some people buy popsicles just for kicks. But me and my baby, we save the sticks to keep brother and sisters quiet as a mouse. We give them popsicle sticks to build a popsicle house.
Popsicle.
But if you want to keep cool, it doesn't trick. And it comes on a stick.
Doing this, all right, guys, calm down. There are moments doing this stupid job where, you know, I should be paying my bosses for the privilege of you know. Sometimes this is hard work, and sometimes this is a doss, and sometimes it's an absolute thrill. I cannot tell you how excited I am about the guest tonight. If you can hear me, because I'm a little bit breathless, partly because I was singing along to that, and partly because I'm flipping nervous, because the person we've got on tonight is an absolute legend, and was, as a fan of 60s music, and particularly the Beach Boys, and those kind of groups that were in their sphere, I was a 13, 14, 15, 16, I was a huge fan of Jan and Dean, and what a thrill it is to say, we've got Dean Torrance on the line. Good evening, Dean.
Good evening to you, actually, but it's not evening here.
Oh, what time is it?
We got a beautiful day here in Surf City, the 73 degrees, nice ocean breeze going. It's pretty nice.
All right, man. You show off about it in your songs. You don't need to show off about it in the interviews as well, do you?
Well, why not? I mean, you're living it. You may as well talk about it.
Dean,
and that sure is that is really a silly song that you just played.
Oh, it's ridiculous, but wonderful.
I know. It made me smile too.
It's there are so many Jan and Dean songs I could have played, and I've got a couple of slightly more obscure ones lined up that I might dip into as we chat. Jan and Dean was a strange act because you kind of had, well, several different careers, didn't you? You were big in the 50s as this clean-cut, you know, blonde, tall, good-looking duo singing, you know, kind of cute pop songs.
Doo-wop, mostly. Yeah. And it, that was kind of the... It was the, you know, the Frankie Avalons of the world. So we were kind of those kind of guys and pop stars. But it wasn't, you know, and then along came the surfing thing and the whole thing changed. So being a teen idol was how one would start out. I guess that's what you're supposed to do. And then we found kind of the Southern California beach culture, and it was a whole kind of a whole new thing. So
and lucky because a lot of the acts that you were kind of, you know, you were playing with in the 50s, they never got that second wind, did they? And they disappeared into the history books.
Yeah, we were very blessed. And you did mention the Beach Boys. Our paths crossed with the Beach Boys, and from that moment on, it was totally a different direction. Well, thank God. I mean, but we realized that was the direction we wanted to go in the beginning.
Yeah.
We had started out as kind of a boys band, I guess you would call it in today's parlance, I guess. But, you know, we wanted to be in a group. I signed on to do the falsetto parts. I didn't sign on to be, teen idol singing a lead on a song. I wanted to sing harmony parts, and so did Jan. And we never meant to be a duo, but all of a sudden we were a duo, like it or not. But once we met the Beach Boys, we realized that we could do all of our own vocal parts and be in a group, even though it was us being the group. Sometimes they would participate.
Well, I was about to say, I'm reading Mike Love's autobiography, and we'll get to your book in a bit, Surf City, the Jan and Dean story, which comes out soon. But I'm reading Mike Love's autobiography, and I know that you're good friends with Mike. And the way he tells the story of you meeting is that weird kind of thing in the 60s that seems incredible now, but bands like the Beach Boys, the Beatles did it. When they turned up to do shows, not only would they play their songs, but they'd also have to back, you know, other acts as well. And they backed you at a gig.
Well, we did not have a backup band, per se, because we were full-time college students. And I haven't seen Mike's book, so I don't know how much detail he put into it. But we used studio musicians. Matter of fact, that Popsicle song that you just played, there's some great little guitar stuff in there. That was all Glenn Campbell. We didn't have time to put together a band, so being school 5 days a week, so we just used the best guys in the United States and maybe even in the world to, you know, cut your tracks for you. So whenever we do a live show, either we had studio guys, if they weren't working, and or whoever bought us for that particular evening, part of the deal was you had to hire another group that was self-contained, and that started to be the self-contained group was the Beach Boys. They were our backup band.
I think that's
which was perfect. I mean, we wanted to sing harmony parts with other people on stage. And being just Jan and Dean, we didn't have any vocalists, but now we had a backup band that were terrific vocalists and very creative, and we got along, and so why not? We finally did get to be in that vocal group we had always wanted to be in.
And you had, I think I've got this right, the only number one surf song in the United States. The Beach Boys didn't have a number one about surfing, I don't think.
I think you're right. They did later get a number one called Barbara Ann, which again was my idea, and then I sang lead on. So even when they got a number one song, I got to be the lead singer.
How did that happen? Because I'm asking how did it happen. I know exactly how it happened. But for the listeners, you do what a lot of people don't realize, and we mentioned it on the show this week, is that it is you singing the lead, the falsetto on the Beach Boys hit Barbara Ann. Again, unthinkable now that a singer would just wander into a session and uncredited just sing the, just toss off the lead vocal. And it did take about 10 minutes, didn't it? Wasn't it one or two takes?
It was three takes, and yeah, it was something a little over 10 minutes. I know, they just released the Party album that was featured on.
Yeah.
It's the 50-year anniversary of the Beach Boys Party album. Wow. And they put all three takes of Barbara Ann, and on two takes, I'm not singing the falsetto, because I thought, you know, Brian's going to sing it, because yeah. he's got a great falsetto. I'll just sing background parts with my buddies. So we're having fun singing the background parts and kidding each other and having an absolute great afternoon in the studio. And then Brian decides he wants me to sing along with him. And then there's a little argument between the background guys wanted me to stay with them. I didn't care, you know, I just was having a good time. But if Brian, he was the lead dude, you know, and
yeah.
if he says he wants me to sing along with him, I guess I got to do that. So I did, thinking, you know, this song's just going to be buried on a LP anyway.
Yeah.
Who cares? But it was a lot of fun to sing, and I think that's what really made that record as popular as was. Not necessarily the song. I mean, the song's, you know, nothing special.
Yeah.
But I think the listener could tell that honestly does sound like a bunch of guys absolutely enjoying the moment and being together and singing some dopey rock and roll song.
Speaking of some guys having fun and singing dopey rock and roll songs, when I was 15, I was obsessed with one of your albums. Can I just play you a little bit from this? Because this has got to be one of the weirdest... I think you know where I'm going. One of the weirdest...
One of my favourite things,
I loved it. I loved it. Let me play a bit and then we'll talk about it. Here we go. Oh, no, hang on. I've got the wrong blooming bit. Look at me. I was trying to be all cool.
It's in the right direction.
It's Jan and Dean Meet Batman, which has got to be one of the most nuts albums of all time. It's a concept album before concept albums.
Exactly.
About you guys hanging out with Batman. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant. How the heck did that come about, Dean?
I loved concept stuff. It always bothered me when there was no concept, when you were just doing one-offs.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do an LP, in my mind, it should be all about the same subject matter. You know, so you have some continuity between the songs and you have a theme going. And Batman, we had seen some of the footage of what that show was going to be about,
yeah.
and we could tell that it was going to be one of those very kind of a pop art thing, which it was going to have comedy. We loved putting comedy into our most everything we did, and we thought, why not do a spoof? We figured it's all visual. It's going to be on TV. Let's do the musical part of it. So we were doing kind of I just thought of it that way, too. It was a Batman musical.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what it was, with skits. And we had so much fun writing those skits, and I think I did most all the... I think I did most all the voices. All
here we
the,
go. Here's a bit. Here we go, dude. Odd. Hang on a second. Let me play this.
Holy porcupine quills, holy mammal, describing the boy wonder.
It's just It's hard to get a physical copy, but it's on iTunes, and it's just nuts, man. The bit I was trying to play earlier, I love it. It's so funny. I think it's you and Jan as a couple of cops, and you're talking to your deputies, and they're all kids. They're all like about 8 or 9 years old, and you say, "Okay, deputies, what do we need here?" And they're going, "We need Jan and Dean." And then one of them goes, "No, we need the Beach Boys." "The Beach Boys? No, those guys don't know anything." It's just so delicious.
those were the kids of I think our engineers in the studio.
Right.
They brought their kids because their kids were interested in Batman and all that. So the kids showed up, and then we thought, let's put the kids to work. Doggone it. And so they got to be in the skit, because the skit was just a lot of it was just. Oh, you know, it was just off the cuff.
Oh, it's goofy, and it's delicious.
We wrote some of it down, I think.
Right, okay.
But it was so much fun.
What was Jan like to work with? I've read various accounts that he was determined and focused, maybe a little harsh sometimes. You knew him better than anyone else. What was he like?
Oh, I dug him. We got along from the minute we met, and... You know, which was on a sports team, so it had nothing to do with music.
Yeah.
And we just kind of discovered our mutual affection for music, and it just went from playing football right into doing music together. And I don't ever remember being pissed off or unhappy or anything. We got a good 8 years out of it before he had his tragic automobile accident, but up until that point, we were roommates. He gave me a real nice room off of a pool, a big Bel Air house that he bought, and I didn't know it at the time, and I guess I just kind of expected it. But in retrospect, I looked back and thought there are very few musicians that all got along. And certainly guys that would buy a house and invite their bandmates to come live with them. I thought that was pretty cool.
He wrote a lot of the songs. He arranged a lot of the songs as well, didn't he? He was kind of the boss.
He produced them, he arranged them, he sang them, I did a lot of the co-writing. I didn't get credit for it all the time, but I didn't really care. I mean, I figured these songs are going to be around for 3 to 4 months anyway, and then nobody will ever hear them again. So I didn't think it was all that necessary to get credit for everything. Till 30 years later, then I kind of scratched my head and said, I missed out on some royalties I could have gotten. It didn't matter. I didn't really care.
Jan had
it was a good time.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
And you can see that from the TV clips. I love the clips where it's the two of you and you've got your guitar case. And then during the instrumental break, you flip open your guitar case, out drops a skateboard, and you just skate around the studio. It's just wonderful and simple and great. After Jan's accident, of course, which was an horrific accident, and the fact that if anyone's seen the pictures of the car that he was in, the fact that he was even alive after that is a miracle. You still recorded some, you still tried to keep the Jan and Dean flag flying, didn't you?
Well, I thought I would at least try and keep some of the momentum we had. Just before his accident, and I really was not sure about what his future was going to be like. Early on, the doctors couldn't really tell, but they were pretty sure. I mean, he had some very traumatic head injuries, so they were pretty sure he was going to have some permanent brain damage, which he did. But sometimes you just don't know how serious it's going to be. So I kind of figured I would give it a year or so, and if it didn't look like he was going to be able to do music again, then I would just have to move on, do something else. And I didn't want to start with a new partner or any of that stuff. I just thought it was time to kind of find something else to do.
The safe.
And I'd been going to school, so I had anticipated that there was going to be an ending. So I thought, I guess
this is the other weird thing.
Handwriting's on the wall.
You guys, while you were massive pop stars, you guys were both still at school as well, just waiting for the day that the pop career folded, so you'd have your career
exactly.
to fall back on.
That's what Mom and Dad told us to do.
We're going to get to your alternate career in a second. Can I just play you the Save for a Rainy Day album? I think is just that. That's the one the album that you kind of made when Jan was recuperating. Is that right?
Yeah.
Let me play a little bit from that. Hang on a second.
No sadness, 'cause I'll take good care of you. Don't be blue, the sun will shine right on through. So baby, don't you worry, we'll be friends now. We will be just like one, having fun, a running, playing in the sun. No one can ever hurt you.
Oh, come on, man, come on. That's just stunning, Dean.
As close to Paul McCartney as I could get. Now, I didn't get very close, but...
Did you write that?
Yeah, I actually wrote it for the movie we were supposed to do, but because of the accident, we didn't get to do. So it was written for the movie, and Jan arranged the little string quartet section, which was very tasty. So he still had some input to it, and I finished it kind of after the fact, because there was no movie, but the track was cut, and I figured I may as well finish it and use it somehow.
Lullaby in the Rain is the song. It's just, oh man, it tugs at your heartstrings. Very quickly, because I want to talk about album covers in a second, but you've reminded me that you two as well, I mean, you were so big, and it's kind of hard because you had hits in the UK, but I think the Beach Boys, you know, that they kind of overshadowed you a bit in the UK. So it's sometimes...
Well, because we never came over.
Yeah.
We understood we would have to, you know, come over, and at least they could actually see you. It always helped that your fans were able to see you play live, and then that really helped. But we just didn't have time. We figured we'll do it later, and later never happened.
But you were about to make a movie. You made a couple of TV pilots. At the time, they were sort of just before the Monkees, when they were looking. American TV was looking to make a TV show about a rock and roll group. You were in
We sold one of those pilots. We were scheduled to debut the same season that the Monkees did. So we would have been on different networks and probably not competed at the same hour or anything, because we had already talked to their management. Their management already talked to us. We were going to be on their show, and they would have been on our show doing little cameos and stuff. So that would have been a friendly rivalry, too, as well, but nobody knew who they were. So we would have had a huge head start because we already had an audience. And our show is actually better than theirs. It was a little bit more clever, I think, and a lot less slapstick.
Yeah.
And our show was kind of heading in the direction. Later, I looked back at some of the notes and where we were going to go with the show, and I realized it was Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
We were doing parodies on other people's shows and things, and a lot of humor and a lot of music.
You did have a career to fall back on, and you became a very well-renowned, have you won a Grammy for this, for designing album covers?
Yeah. Isn't that bizarre?
It's wonderful.
Never got a Grammy for music. and I got three nominations and one Grammy for graphic design.
What was the Grammy?
Which
album was the Grammy for that you designed the cover of?
Well, it was called Pollution.
Oh.
and it was a picture of a chicken coming out of an egg with a gas mask on.
Oy, come on.
Now, we had to make the gas mask. He didn't have Photoshop in those days,
yeah.
So we actually had to do it and make a little gas mask for a chicken. And once you put it on the chicken, the chicken fell over, and he went, I didn't think of that. It was a funny concept. I don't think I was really embarrassed. Matter of fact, I told the art directors that were the ones that nominated stuff that even though I won it, I shouldn't have. And then I became the guy to then put together the new group of people that would nominate those things.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think it was good packaging. I mean, it was a cute picture.
Yeah.
It worked as a picture, but did it do anything for the musicians that were counting on this to be their careers? Mm. It did nothing for their careers. I mean, the chicken got more attention than the group did. And I got a Grammy, thank you. I mean, that was nice, but it didn't do anything for the group. So I specialized in branding.
Right, okay.
The way I looked at it was that cover had to tell a consumer what the heck was in that package.
Yeah.
What kind of music is it? Who are these people? And or if the people were fairly well known, you wanted to put their pictures on the front to further their branding and their message. Because, you know, everybody knew their music, but they didn't know the rest of the story or the personality of these people. And that's what the visual part was for.
You did a couple of
not
covers.
To put a chicken on there.
You put a chicken. Well, you just did your Robin the Boy Wonder voice there when you say chicken. Thank you.
Oh, yes, I did. I revert back to that all the time.
Thank you. You did a couple for Harry Nilsson.
Oh, yeah, I love those.
Well, and what was, I mean, because I've only, here's the thing, Dean, I'm 43, I love all my, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s rock. I've only just discovered Harry Nilsson. I've read a brilliant book about him, and I've got the box set, and I'm really working through it slowly and savouring it. Man alive,
you're right.
What a talent, what a live wire, what a, you know, tragic story. But, I mean, have I got it right, you did that, Nilsson sings Newman, and you did one other, didn't you, I think?
I did most all of them.
Oh, did you?
Nilsson Schmielsen.
Oh, I didn't realize. I
did Ariel something or other, whatever that was called. I did The Point. Son of Schmielsen, I think.
Oh, I apologize. I didn't realize you did so many.
No, and I even sang on a couple of them.
Did you get involved? Everyone I speak to who's worked with Harry Nilsson always says that that Harry would pop up, would knock on their door on a Friday and say, do you fancy coming out for a drink? And it was best if you took your passport with you and said to your wife, I'll be back in a couple of weeks.
That was Harry. Yeah, luckily I wasn't married at the time, and I was still single. I had never been married. So I was in on some of those adventures. Really creative guy.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best vocalists, rock vocalists I'd ever been around. And I used to tell him that he didn't believe me that he really was that good. I kept telling him he was. But very underrated. Great singer, great instincts. He also understood the visual part. That's why we got together. He understood his message. Also had a visual component to it. And we spent a lot of time making sure that his full story was always told either audially or visually. And that's why we really got along. And he was so great to be around. And I loved his music. And I'm glad you appreciate his music.
Yeah, I'm finding it now, and I'm amazed that I've missed it. Dean, listen, I'm going to let you go because I could sit here and talk to you all night. Honestly, on this show, we only get people. I know you've got a book out, but we don't get people that are just out plugging stuff. We get people that I love, and we have been trying to get to you for flipping ages, Dean Torrance, and it's such a thrill to have you on the phone. I cannot tell you. 15-year-old me is dancing around with joy.
Aww.
So thank you.
It was as much a pleasure for me too, as well. I mean, I like doing this. I'm thrilled when somebody cares enough to to be interested. You know, got my number, Ian.
Well, next time in California, Dean, I'm coming round. Let's give the book a plug. It's Surf City, the Jan and Dean story. It's by you. It comes out in September. So when it comes out, I'm going to tweet the hell out of it, and we'll plug it on the show.
Oh, that'll be great.
And the song I'm going to
also have your audience also check out on their on their computers. Go to a website.
Yep.
It's surfcityusa.com, and it's the website for the city that I live in, which is called Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
We copyrighted the name Surf City years and years ago. So the name of the website, Surf City USA, and people can check out and see what Surf City looks like, and we would love everybody that's hearing this to come visit.
We're going to do that.
I'll be your host.
One final... I'm coming, man. I'm totally coming. One final question, right? We talk about the nuts.
I'm in no hurry.
Okay.
You might be in a hurry.
No, I'm not. I could sit here and talk all night. The Anaheim Azusa and Cucamonga Sewing Circle Book Review and Timing Association. I think that's officially the longest song title in the world.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to play it. How the hell did you guys come up with that? Because it's a brilliant song.
It's a stupid title. And Jan was, and I don't think we made this point, he was pre-med. He was a med student, and he was doing his pre-med classes at UCLA. And it's one of the best schools in the United States. And he minored in music, so he did have a musical arrangement class. And in this music arrangement class, he was supposed to write out a Bach chorale, which is chorales, I guess, voices.
Yeah.
So he had to write this out to get a grade for something. And he liked it so much that he brought it to the studio. And we mixed it with, I think, I Get Around or something like that. So it's a mixture of a Bach chorale and I Get Around. And he got an A for it. By the way.
Well done. Dean, I love you. Thank you so much for your music, and thank you so much for spending your time with me this evening. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, and as I said, you have the number anytime.
Thank you, man. Take care. Thanks a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, Dean Torrance, and this song is nuts.
For the Anaheim Azusa and Cucamonga Sewing Circle Book Review and Timing Association. They wear burgundy dresses and high-button shoes. They read Playboy magazine and Hot Rod News. There's patience proper and prudence prim. You ought to see them do the swim. Come from Association. They tool around town in their big Grand Prix, sitting in their bucket seats, shooting the breeze. You know that all week long they put up jam and freezers, but on the weekend they negotiate curves. They come from Association. The meeting breaks up with a thunderous roar. Then there's a mad, mad rush for the big old door. They run to their cars like the start at Le Mans. Then they go spinning donuts in their lawns. They come from Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga Sewing Circle Book Review and Timing
Brewing Association. For the Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga Sewing Circle Book Review and Timing Association.
Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Dean Torrance from Jan and Dean. Have some of that, 15-year-old me. Kiss it. Thanks for sorting that out, Kath. That was... I don't know if you enjoyed it or not. I certainly did. What a deal. Honestly, I pored over that Jan and Dean Meet Batman album. I remember buying it in Slough Records with my money from B-Jams. I was 15. And I listened to it, and I just could not... You can't get it anywhere now. I've just bought it on iTunes. I get the songs. I'm annoyed I muffed up that clip. But the cover is just this stunning, you know, pop art kind of thing. What he didn't say was that originally it was all... The skits all referenced actual Batman and Robin. And they were just about to release the record. And I think it's 20th Century Fox that owned the Batman TV series. And they went... yeah, we own those characters. You can't just, like, rip them off when we're about to do a massive TV show. So they had to go and re-record the whole album. It's insane. You think Tommy's weird. Tommy, deaf, dumb and blind kid playing pinball, that's nothing compared to Jan and Dean Meet Batman. It is insane. With that in mind, dear listener... We begin the show as per usual. Now, it's always odd doing a show, starting a show. Go on, put him through. Go on. Come on. I'll deal with him. I'll deal with him. Come on. Paul Akinbola's calling in and the production team are pretending they can't see his name flashing up. No, well, we'll sort it out. We'll sort him out. Now, it's always weird doing a show after you've had a guest, because it's kind of a bit tough to kind of get the momentum going. So just call in about whatever you fancy. It's as simple as 0844 499 1000. Philip's in South Norwood. Good evening, Philip.
Oh, fantastic, Ian.
Wasn't Dean Torrance masterful?
Wow. And the topping it off with one of my favourite songs, the Anaheim Azusa Cucamonga Sewing Circle Book Review and Time in the Soap.
All in one breath!
Oh, I love it.
You reminded me, Philip. I had to buy the song, because I haven't got that one in here. Your email popped up. And I was like, let me get that song. And so while I was talking, I purchased the song. I hadn't noticed the I Get Around rip-off in it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't notice that bit before.
The one about the little old lady from Pasadena. Oh. I wonder who she was based on, you know. Oh. The one who goes out on her bike, you know.
Exactly.
I was wondering, did you know that they did a version of the Beatles' Norwegian Wood?
Yes, I did know that on their Fillet of Soul album.
Yeah.
I know.
And Ride the Wild Surf always brings memories back for me because I've actually went to Oahu and I went to Waimea Bay.
Ride the Wild Surf is, it's kind of a great lost surf song. It's a big hit.
Yes.
But it's got like the full-on Hollywood orchestration, massive orchestra and stuff. And it's just epic. We'll play it later. We'll play it later on.
Have you seen the film?
No, I've not seen the film.
The film features you know, Ride the Wild Surf in it. And it's mostly the young teen actors of the period. You know, Troy Donnelly.
I've never really seen, I don't think, any of those, you know, Frankie Avalon, Annette Funicello movies. I've never seen any.
I must admit that I came very early. Annette Funicello did a song years and years and years, well, before she, you know, became a teen, because she was a Mouseketeer.
Well,
she was in the Walt Disney Mouseketeers on American television.
Annette Funicello, ladies and gentlemen, if Annette Funicello and young...
Frankie Avalon.
No. I'm trying to think of... Hang on. Sally Field.
Oh, yeah.
Boah. Those two young women in their early 20s, boy, oh, boy. You'd have to have a...
Annette did a record. She had a group called Annette and the Afterbeats.
And the what beats?
Annette and the Afterbeats. Yes. They did a song.
Do the Monkey's Uncle.
the song is called Tall Paul.
Oh.
And that was her first song. And Tall Paul, so you want to check that because it's quite funny. But also, something else, you mentioned about Nielsen.
Yes.
Kenny Everett did a Nielsen song.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Oh. Kenny did some songs that weren't comedy songs.
Yes.
There's a great one he did called A Little Train Number.
Oh, yeah.
Which was written by John Burt of the BBC.
Flipping heck. Now we really are disappearing up our backsides.
Well, what it was, they were doing a TV show at the time, Ian, called yes. Nice Time. Yeah. Great TV show from Granada with Jonathan Ralph, Jermaine Greer and Kenny Everett.
It sounds like a right laugh, Ryan.
There's clips on YouTube.
I won't watch it.
Oh, anyway, I just thought
What do you think about this? They're doing the one-offs of all the old programmes.
Now, that is interesting, Ian. It's going to be interesting to see.
Well, will it, though? I mean, I'm not going to watch it, but I do wonder. I mean, they're obviously looking to see. They're throwing everything against the wall and seeing if anything sticks.
Yeah,
and then if it does stick, they'll make some series out of it.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I have seen several versions of Are You Being Served? Oh. I went to Australia, and when I was in Australia, John Inman was touring out there in a stage production of Are You Being Served? The rest of the cast were Australians.
Here we go. There's a funny thing, right? In the 60s and 70s, and the 80s a bit, as well as quite often sitcoms will get movies made, right? We know that. We've seen the two-step tie in some films. I think there is an Are You Being Served film,
there
isn't
is,
there?
Yes,
don't they go on holiday or something?
They do, they go to holiday, yes.
Right, and there's the two on the buses films and all that. But they also would quite often do stage shows the TV programmes.
Well, I can tell you, Ian, my parents went to see Heidi High at the Victoria Palace.
Oh,
I got them tickets for the stage show. And they came home, they were thrilled to bits because the two people sitting in the front row go on stage and become part of the play. They were campers. They were.
And it was your mum and dad got to go and be in the play?
They got to be in the
play. Hey, flipping heck!
They came home and they were thrilled to bits. I've never seen them so happy.
Well, isn't that wonderful? I remember there being an Hello, Hello stage play.
Yeah, I think
I think Birds of a Feather did it as well.
That I'm not sure about.
Here's one.
I tell you what I find interesting is that these sitcoms in this country that went to America and became big hits.
Well,
I'm thinking of Elf Garnet, which was All in the Family, which was great.
Yes.
There was Steptoe that became Sanford and Son with Red
That
Fox.
Wasn't a hit. That was a flop.
Oh, have you seen it?
No, of course not.
It's good. It's good. I can assure you.
What was the one that's... It's Fawlty Towers, it doesn't have Basil Fawlty in it.
It did not, no.
And it had... wasn't it Cheech out of Cheech and Chong was Manuel?
I think you could be right.
And it was I think it was B. Arthur, the tall man. Only one from the Golden Girls was Basil Fawlty.
Well, B. Arthur had a series called Mould, which was a spin-off of All in the Family.
And he's just going back to the TV shows that were plays.
Yeah.
Someone on Periscope is saying it ain't our fault, Mum was one. But there was also Doctor Who.
Uh-huh. I think they were... I think they tried several... I think...
John Pertwee did a play as Doctor Who.
Yeah, because there was the films of Doctor Who, Peter Cushing.
Philip, I'm going to say goodbye because we're disappearing up our own back. It's two old men gassing.
Oh, we're having fun, aren't we?
Well, we are. I don't know if anyone else is. Now, Paul.
Hello.
Listen, Paul, turn your radio off, first of all.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to phone in and tell me... Let's address the issue. You're going to phone in and tell me. You've sent me an email. Let's see what the email says. You want to do a kids magazine called Stud You Like. Right, okay. That's what the email says. Here's the thing, Paul, right? You're going to phone in and tell me that you want to make a load of money and buy a big house and is it Sean, your mate?
Shane?
Are going to become pop stars and then you're going to remake an old TV show and it's going to be a little bit creepy and a little bit sexually inappropriate. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I think we've got the idea that that's what you want to do. And so maybe we need to take these phone calls, these conversations, of which I'm hugely grateful for. We need to take these conversations to the next level.
Yeah.
And here's my suggestion. We pretend, right, this is what we're going to do, Paul Akinbola, and I've just worked this out now as my chair collapsed. We are going to pretend, when you call in, right, that your slightly sexually subversive TV shows are being made and they are top secret, right, and that we are no longer allowed to talk about them, because if we talk about them, Paul, the government will stop them being made, okay?
Yeah.
So instead, we need to talk about something that's not connected in any way whatsoever with pop music, TV shows, making loads of money, swimming pools, or men in pants.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you understand your mission?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. You are now working as a top secret undercover agent. We know you're going to be a big pop star. We know you're going to buy a TV channel. We know you're going to go back in time and create a weird... We know that's going to happen, right? You and I know that, right? But we can't let anybody else know that we know that, Paul, right?
Yeah.
So we need to talk about stuff that is in no way connected whatsoever to that side of your career and character.
There's a new direction for me.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the subject to the real time machine.
Oh, back to the time machine. Okay, we're not going to go back in any way tamper with television, are we? Because we can't talk about that because that's secret.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are you going to do with the time machine this time?
Well, the real time machine, but it's on back burner until I have lots of money.
Yeah, keep it on the back burner. So instead, what could we talk about that isn't time machine, television, or nappy related?
They mentioned that I got invited to go. I got an invitation to come to the studio next week.
Who
got an invitation?
Who invited you to the studio?
Ian Lee, the listeners are coming to the studios. Callers. I saw it on the...
But where... Here's the question, Paul.
They mentioned on the chat room that... Mm-hmm.
How old are you, Paul?
23.
Okay. And whereabouts do you live, Paul?
Stepnington.
Okay. Here's the situation. Everybody's invited. What can I say? Everybody's invited. But it's going to be very cold.
Yeah.
And we haven't got any seats.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of nowhere. So it's going to be... This is me being serious now. We are literally in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of near Waterloo. And this is... Everyone is invited next Friday. And, you know, we're all God's children. But getting here and back is going to be really tough.
I can't go anywhere because I'm in trouble and wouldn't want to go anywhere.
So you can't come next week?
I can't come.
Oh, that's a shame, man. We'd have looked forward to meeting you.
Anyway, we're talking... from now on, we're going to talk about what you're up to, like what views of...
We'll talk about other stuff.
Headlines.
All right. All right, Paul, listen, I'm going to let you go. I'm glad we've established that, and I look forward to speaking to you next week, maybe.
I won't be invited because...
Yeah.
For that reason, You hosted a gaming show on Channel 4.
I did, Thumb Bandits.
With Dominic the inspiration for me getting to TV.
Right, then I need to invent a time machine and go back and stop me making Thumb Bandits.
Where, what was Dumb It Down were one of your influences.
Well, Paul, yes, and you're very kind, and I appreciate that, and you're a very good sport, and I you know, thank you for that. But, gosh, it's all my fault. Who'd have thunk? Who'd have thunk it? Alan, stay there. We'll come to you after the news, I think, is what we shall be doing. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you're more than welcome to. Anything goes. You could probably hear, Cass and I went, we went and had Byron burgers. And they didn't taste racist. They tasted nice, actually. If that's what racism tastes like, then I'm going to play Sun City, because it was delightful. We wolfed it down very quickly. It's very... This was the thing, right? This is this is my beef, pun intended, with Byron Burgers. It was very, very noisy in there. Now, regular listeners will know I am severely disabled in that I have auditory malfunction. What that means is... if there is hubbub, I can't hear what's being said to me. Someone's talking to me. I can't. Kath finds this hilarious. Oh, it's funny. Yeah, why don't you go and stick your fingers up at a blind man? I'm not blind, Kath, so I can see that. But if that's what your entertainment is, laughing at, why don't you go up to someone in a wheelchair and jog on the spot? Yeah? Why don't you... Don't explain it to Ed so that he laughs. I'll explain it to Ed in a way that he doesn't laugh, by kicking him in the ghoulies. It's a serious... Why don't you go up to Stephen Hawking and pull a face? Yeah, why don't you do that, tough guys? Jeez. If there is really loud noise or hubbub, I can't hear what's being said to me. I can't. I rely on my wicked lip-reading skills. Or I just, in most instances, if it's like with Kath or something, I just switch off. I just nod when there's like the gaps, which are very few and far between. I nod, and it in many ways it was a blessing. It was so noisy in there because I couldn't hear what she was banging on about in her northern drone.
Talk radio.
I've just seen the email from Dean. Dean wants a copy, not just of the interview, but of the whole show. So guys, can you just up your game? I see we've got Alan and Rob Bonet queued up next. Can't we get some proper callers, please? 0844 499 1000. Talk radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
In Hawaii, there's a place known as Waimea Bay, where the best surfers in the world come to stay and ride the wild surf. They come to try to conquer those waves. Savage surf at Waimea Bay. It takes a lot of skill and courage unknown to catch a last wave and ride it in alone.
Ride, ride, ride the wild surf. Ride, ride, ride the wild surf. Ride, ride, ride the wild surf.
Gotta take that one last ride.
on. That's your Jan and Dean for you. That's what it's all about. Epic. Epic. Wonderful stuff. Good evening, dear listener. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. It's a late night phone-in show, unlike any late night phone-in show that I'm aware of that's on, certainly in the United Kingdom. I know we have people listening on talkradio.co.uk from all over the world and via Periscope, of course. If you know of any shows that are like this elsewhere in the world, let me know, guys, because I want to listen to them. This is the show that I would listen to, and I can't because it's got my stupid voice in it. So I can't listen to it. I have to be in it. What? I don't know. 0844 499 1000. Why is it different? It's different because if we were to flip through the dial now, I mean, there are kind of three main rivals and a few local ones, but it's LBC, it's Five Live, and it's BBC London, in as much as they are doing. And there's a couple elsewhere around the country that too small to worry about. And they will be sitting there doing what topics will they be doing? They'll be doing the burkini thing about the French woman having the police, say, imagine that, armed police telling a woman to take her clothes off. Brilliant. They'll be doing that. They'll be doing Corbyn on the train still. Here's the thing I don't get about Corbyn on the train. 0844 499 1000 is the pictures that I've only seen one picture that Virgin Trains released showing Corbyn walking past empty seats. But they all had the little ticket reservation stubs in the seat. And you can't sit in those seats because they're reserved. So I didn't understand that. They'll be talking about that. And I'm not saying that we don't have to talk about those things. If you want to call in about those things, 0844 499 1000. What I'm trying to say is I'm not going to sit here and you know, I could say, well, we're going to talk about the bikini story. And we get a load of calls and they'd all be saying, you know, one or two things. It's good or it's bad. That's it. That's basically what phone-in radio is. Someone phones in and says it's good. Someone phones in and says it's bad. That's it. Yay or nay. Which is, by the way, a great name for a phone-in. Yay or nay. We'll work that out at a later date. But it's boring, isn't it? It's boring. Just for me to go for this hour, we're going to be talking about the French woman on a beach in France, in Nice, who was told by armed police to take her clothes off. What do you think of the bikini ban? Would you like to see it here? Call me now. And then they do that for an hour. Then the next hour, well, what do you think about Jeremy Corbyn? Should he have sat down? Jeez. Boring, man. Boring. And I know because I listen to a lot of speech-based radio. It's what I listen to primarily, although I've just started to dig Six Music, really getting into Six Music. I even texted in a suggestion for The Chain on... I want to call them Mark and Lard. And I know it's not Mark and Lard, but I'm going to call them Mark and Lard just because it sits more comfortably than Radcliffe and McConey. So I texted in a suggestion for The Chain, and my suggestion for The Chain was better than the one they went with. No, actually, no. The one they went with was better than the one I suggested. Have you heard this? Hang on a minute. Let me just play a bit of this. I'd never heard this before. Oh, listen, have you listened to this? Do you know Shirley Ellis? This is flipping brilliant. Have a bit of this.
The name game. Shirley. Shirley, Shirley, Bo Burley, Bo Nana, Fana, Bo Furley, Fee, Fire, Mo Merrily. Shirley. Lincoln. Lincoln, Lincoln, Bo Bingan, Bo Nana, Fana, Bo Bingan, Fee, Fire, Mo Mingan. Lincoln. Come on, everybody. I say, now let's play a game.
She explains the rules. In case you don't get it, she explains the rules. Name,
the first letter of the name, I treat it like it wasn't there. But a B or an F or an M will appear. And then I say Bo at a B. Then I say the name, then banana.
How good is this, huh?
And then I say the name again with an F. Airplane, then a feet, fire and a moat. And then I say the name.
Any
again
other songs that explain rules to games?
Here we go. I can't rhyme.
Here we go. I think I've got it, Shirley.
Arnold, Arnold, Bobonal, Bonana, Fana, Fofanal, Fee, Fi, Momonal, Arnold.
Okay. Give us another one.
But if the first two letters are ever the same, I drop them both, then say the name like Bob. Bob dropped the B's, Bo, Arb, or Fred. Fred dropped the F's, Bo, Red, or Mary. Mary dropped the M's, Mo, Eric. That's the only rule that is contrary.
I've still not quite worked it out.
Okay.
Okay.
Now say Bo.
Bo.
Now Tony with a B. Oh. Then Banana, Fanner, and Fo.
Banana, Fanner, and Fo.
Then you say the name again with an F very plain.
Tony.
Then a fee, fi, and a mo.
Fee, fi, mo.
Then you say the name again with an M this time.
Money.
And there isn't any name that you can't rhyme.
Okay.
Everybody do Tony. Tony, 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 Boboni, Banana, Banana, Boboni, Fee, Fi, Mo, Moni.
Tony.
Tony. Pretty good. Let's do Billy. Billy, 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 Banana, Banana, Billy, Fee, Fi, Mo, Millie. Billy.
Here we go,
very
got it.
Pretty good. Now let's do Marsha. A little trick with Nick.
Oh.
Nick, Nick, Mo, Big, Mo, Nana, Banana, Mo, Big, Fee, Fi, Mo, Mick. Nick.
Oh. It's had over a million hits. It's a really famous song, apparently. Now, so that I heard that on Six Music Day. So that suggestion was better than the one what I done gone with. Why was I talking about that? Oh yeah, I don't remember. Don't matter. 0844 499 1000. So what I'm saying is, you wouldn't have had two songs on LBC. That's what I'm saying. In the last 10 minutes, that's what I'm trying to say is. You can phone in about any old shiz. 0844 499 1000. Caddick!
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, 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 Caddick. Why so sad?
Well, we better say goodbye to our dog tonight.
Hey. I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, she was 16 years old.
Oh, man alive. I'm really sorry, man. That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm bearing up slowly. My dad's bearing up. And I had to break the news for my mum while she was in hospital today.
Oh, flipping it. It's all going on at the Caddick household. What was wrong with the dog?
Well, she had arthritis in her leg.
Yeah,
she was very old. And she was incontinent.
You're describing Catherine there. Should we get... No. Well... Ah, man. It's a... When my cat goes, not so much my dog, when my cat goes, I shall be absolutely devastated. And for anyone who's lost a pet, it's a tough one, man. I'm really sorry about that, Alan.
The vet said the grandest thing to do was to let her go.
Yep.
And I went with my brother this morning to the vet to do the deed.
Yep.
My brother went in the room and he cried as the vet was doing the injection.
Yeah.
And the vet cried as well.
Yeah, they do. Vets are, for the most part. Was it a South African or Australian vet?
It was a female vet.
Okay. Yeah.
British.
There are so many South African and Australian vets. And I'm a suspicious man, Alan. And I do wonder what the hell they're doing over here.
Probably getting the experience,
yeah.
It's probably the Steve Irwin effect.
I think it may well be that Steve Irwin has inspired a generation of young Australian and South African people to learn how to look after... Animals. That was the word. Well, I'm sorry about that, Alan. That was my stomach. Did you hear that?
Yeah, but that interview, that cheered me up.
Did it cheer you up a little bit?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, well, keep listening, because, I say, we had a massive burger and fries, right? My diet, I don't understand it. So, and I wolfed it down, because it took a really long time to come. So we wolfed it down. So there'll be plenty more of those stomach gurgles, Alan.
And here's the thing about Janet and Darren Janet album, with Batman on there.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, can you, Alan, let me have a go. Alan Ballum, hang on. Alan Ballum, bye bye Ballum, me, my foe, five Alan, banana, Alan, Alan. Yeah, I can do it.
Good.
Yeah, I can do it. Turns out I can do it. Do you want to do, you do it with me? Do it in my name.
Okay. Ian Ballum, Ian Ballum, Ian Ballum, me, 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 me.
You've got to say banana at some point in there. I know that much.
Okay. Okay.
Let me have a go, hang on. Rob, Bob, Mob, Bob, Bob, Dob, Bob, Banana, Fob, Mob, Rob.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Do you want to have a go, Rob?
It's my life, it's my life, it's my life. Lady on roller skates.
Alan, Ballon, me, my Malin, fee, fi, banana, Ballon, 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 Alan. Your turn, Rob.
Coo, coo, coo-ka-choo. I really don't know what to do. Something... Without the coo-ka-choo, over Ian.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. That Shirley Ellis, the name game, is the song that we were just playing there. Well, that was a bit of fun there, wasn't it?
That cheered me up a lot.
Here we go, and here we go, Alan. Now we're going to double cheer you up before the ads. Rob, say something to double cheer Alan up.
Hey, Alan.
Yes, Rob.
Why does a cow become invisible?
Oh, science.
Maybe it's in the latest Deadpool movie.
Yeah, is it in the latest Deadpool movie, Rob?
Through camouflage. Camouflage.
What's Luke Cowell's favourite film?
Is it the new Deadpool movie?
No.
Is it camouflage?
No,
is it because it's going to the movies?
No, you got the punchline, Ian.
Okay.
Because of holiday to Moo Zealand.
Is it Ghostbusters Moo?
Have you seen the new one with Chris Hemsworth?
Is it all right, then we can work this out. The cow's favourite film. Is it Pat, is it Cow Pat to the Future 2?
It's Moonraker.
No, it's not.
Night at the Museum.
There we go, that was a good one. Is it, I'm trying to think of one that's got utterly in, so I can say utterly.
I was going to say utter destruction.
Is it?
I've got it.
Go on.
Move to a kill.
Have they got to? Has it, all right, they've got to be James Bond films, right?
Got so, to move.
Oh man, alive! Is it?
What do we move?
Live and let move.
Move finger.
Move only live twice.
Move finger. Did you say?
Yeah. Casino Mual.
Okay, now you're just being stupid.
Yeah.
Quantum of Moolis. Now, Alan, goodbye.
Thank you.
Rob, we'll speak to you after this.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. Let's go to Rob. Yes, Rob.
Hi.
Hang on.
Oh, which one?
Whoa.
Okay, you've got more than one.
Hey, hang on a second.
I'm still here.
We've got a Rob crash going on. This is unprecedented.
Whoa. What? Hey, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hello, Rob.
You all right, Rob?
Calcino Royale.
Sorry?
Calcino Royale, does that work?
Yeah, it does, actually. It does.
So
the spy who bummed me. Does that work?
Not within the.
I got one.
Criteria.
I got one. Desmond's are forever.
Cows. It changes the rules.
No, they're connected to cows. So, good evening, Rob.
From Heifer with Love. No.
That's unfortunate.
No. You should write for Mrs. Brown's Boys. Funniest sitcom ever, apparently.
He said sitcom, but I know what he meant.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I've got a very important topic.
Well, hang on a minute. Which Rob is this? Hang on a minute. Well, hang on. Kath has typed on my screen, "Cry Frisian." But that's not a James Bond. That's "Cry Freedom." You're talking about. We're doing. She's not even noticed. We're just doing James Bond films now. Flipping heck!
Tell her to go watch some Miranda box sets.
Right, Rob.
Yes.
No, the other one.
Oh, Rob.
No, not you. That one. That one. Yes. That one.
Him.
Not
him.
You.
That one.
No, him.
Right.
The other?
No.
Yes.
I don't know if the Rob I want to talk to is there anymore. Rob?
He said...
No, not you.
High def beach volleyball.
Sorry?
Hello?
That's what he was saying.
Is Rob there?
Rob?
Yes.
No, not that one. That one.
Yes.
That one, yeah, yes. Who said yes?
Hi.
Udders galore.
Who? Yeah, we're doing characters now, are we? I don't. Right, Rob.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, the one that's going yes.
No, that's me.
No, that's not it. You. Not the irritating northern one. The Cockney one.
Well,
Cockney, right? Cockney Rob.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi, Cockney Rob. What have you got for us?
Moths. So there's two moths in my room at the moment, and it's dark. And I saw them when the lights were on, and now I've turned them off. And I know they're about to attack at any moment.
No.
So any tips, or what are your irrational fears?
No,
I've got a genuine one with moths.
Roger Moore. What? Roger
Moore.
Sean Derry? No. Hang on. Timothy. No. Who was the Australian one? Who's the Australian Bond?
George Moosenby.
Well, no, see, the thing about moths, are they big moths or are they little ones?
Tiny little things.
Little silver ones?
Yeah.
You've got to kill.
In your ears.
Rob, you've got to kill those. Those are the ones that eat your clothes. You have got to kill those, Rob. And I'm not even joking now. George Grazingby. Well done, Kath. Yeah. You've got to kill those, Rob, and this is how you do it. You turn the light on, you get a copy of the Holy Bible or the Quran.
And
when they come, they'll land on the wall by the light. You slam those gits to death and you squidge them with the Quran or the Bible, don't matter. And I'm only saying a holy book because it sends their spirits to heaven. And you need to do it, Rob, because they won't attack you. You'll be fine. Your clothes won't be.
Yeah, they eat clothes.
They eat. Right, okay. Well, the thing is, they don't. It's the
larvae.
Maggot, the larvae.
Yeah,
the larvae. Yeah. So you've got to kill them, man. Seriously, I've just spent £60 on moth repellent stuff, and do you know what I've done with it? I just put it in a cupboard. And when I say put it in a cupboard, I don't mean I sprayed it and applied it in a cupboard. I just put
it
in a cupboard.
You left it in a cupboard.
I'll wait until I get some more holes in my clothes.
Do you have any ridiculous irrational fears like that?
No, I'm a tough guy.
My theory on moths is that when you're asleep, they crawl into your ears, create a nest in your head, and then come out through your eyes.
Nest head.
I mean, it may not be actually scientific, but
no,
you never know.
I
touch of evil.
I think that has been. I think I've seen a video of that on YouTube, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Kath's
typed just now. This is the last one I'm going to read out. Cuddy broccoli. I mean, that's just rubbish. That doesn't even work.
Did you do a mood? Did you do a mood to a kill?
Yeah, mate. We did that. Of course we did. Which thing you are? Amateurs? Yeah. Who do you think you're dealing with? You're talking to me and irritating Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Rob.
He's still there. Great.
I don't think... Well,
man with a golden top.
Oh, golden top. Yeah, fair play. All right. I like that one. Man with a golden top. Milk used to go gold top.
Good job. They're always better if you have to explain them, I always
say. Yeah.
Anyway.
Hang on a minute. I'm trying to think of... No, we've done the spy bum, haven't we?
live and let bum.
I'm not even reading that out, Catherine, because that doesn't even make sense.
Man with a golden bum.
I once naively went into a butterfly enclosure at some place, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it. I didn't really think about it. I went in there and it was all hot and you had to walk down this sort of corridor and the door was at the end. And all these butterflies started coming at me. And you're not allowed to kill them in there, I found out.
Oh, they frown on that.
And I just said to my wife and kids, I said... And I start, so I could feel the panic rising in me. Right? I mean, it was the same panic I felt when I went potholing once. And I said to my wife and kids,
"Very similar.
I can't do this. I've got to get out of here. I'll see you in a few minutes." And I put my jacket over my head, and I ran down through the sort of corridor and out the other side. It was horrible. It was absolutely.
You've never felt more manly.
Oh, I felt honestly. I didn't give a stuff what I looked like. I was terrified, absolutely terrified.
Yeah. Well, that's because they're all evil.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's an irrational fear. I think that's a perfectly grounded, acceptable fear.
Yeah. They come across all innocent moths, you know, but they've got a look on them.
Are there moths? It sounds like you're in a room full of a million moths that are all flapping by your telephone.
Oh, no, that's a fan. It's blimmin' hot.
OK, well, we should have said that at the start, Rob, because it's broadcasting rules. We're not allowed to have anybody on whilst they have a fan present, just in case something goes wrong. It's not fair on the kids. Other Rob.
Hello.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people were kissing your bum on Twitter because you were on telly, were they?
I was on telly and I was excellent on telly, yeah.
Yeah, my mum said your beard looks like a Brillo pad, so I said I'd relay that.
Well, and do I make the joke that your mum knows that it... No, don't make that joke. Okay, fine. All right, fine. I'm just... And boy, oh boy, that's the new me. Because I could have just steamed in there and made the joke about her knowing, you know, how it feels. And I didn't.
Go on. I'll go to Daily Mail tomorrow.
No.
Radio bully harasses pensioner.
Well, it wasn't... It's not bullying if it's... If money is exchanged hands.
You're paid her. Idea.
Yes.
Idea for show.
Pen and paper at the ready, sir. Yes, sir.
We have boxing, we have wrestling, and that's how they introduce people to the ring. Callers, right, if they want to get in the ring on the show,
yeah,
they have to do their own announcements.
Okay, I like the sound of this.
The Michael Buffer type thing. And they tell you an interesting fact about themselves and give them a nickname.
Yes.
And then you go, oh, there you go. You know what you're getting. You say, oh, they could do it to Kath.
So give me, give me an idea. Give me an idea of what you would do then, and then we'll try it with our next caller.
You're going to cut me off, aren't you?
No. I'm not going to cut you off. We've got Nigel lined up. Nigel.
Oh, hi, Ian.
Hi, Nigel.
How are you?
Listen to this, Nigel, because Rob's going to do something. We're going to see if it works. A new direction for the show. So Rob's going to do it. Then you're going to do it. All right, Nigel.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So, here we go.
He hails in from Sheffield or thereabouts. He's about 14 stone, working on that. He is to sexy what Tom Daly is to diving. It's your favourite caller and mine, Rob Strawberry Blonde Bernay.
Well, a couple of things I'd like to pick you up on.
What?
Tom Daly didn't win a medal.
Yeah, but he's associated with being a diving man, isn't he?
Well, I don't want to talk about his personal life.
Yeah.
And you're a ginger. But I like that, and that was good.
One.
Nigel, do you want to have a go at that?
Go on, Nigel.
No, thank you.
Sorry?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, do it again. So Rob is basically, he's pretending he's an American wrestler.
Yeah.
And he's introducing himself.
Where are you from, Nigel?
England.
England, that'll do.
But he lives in Maidstone.
You make music.
Yeah.
You love Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, she's all right.
She's
all right. Gone down a bit. Who's your new squeeze?
I like Miley better.
Miley Cyrus, right. Yeah. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
What's going to be your middle name? So, Nigel...
Patrick.
Nigel Patrick. Yep, like
Nigel,
that.
Nigel the Patrick.
Mm.
All right, I'm going to do this. I'll even. The floor's yours, Nigel.
I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have a break, and then when we come back, Rob, I'm not going to say anything. Boom, you're going to go straight into it, all right? So I'm going to come to you in a bit. 0844 499 1000. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
He hails from England or thereabouts. He is the music man with the talented fingers. He has many celebrity lovers, including Miley Cyrus. He is Nigel the Patrick now.
What did you reckon, Nigel? Nigel?
Nigel? That good, he's passed out.
He seems to have passed out. Or he's watching the telly. Nigel? Nigel?
Nigel?
You all right, fella? Oh, maybe he's just gone for a waz.
What point do you... Do you ever think, should I call someone?
Nigel?
Hello.
What happened there, mate?
I was just looking what was on the TV as that while he was having a break.
Oh, good on?
I don't know, it's a documentary, I think, as usual. It's all documentaries.
Do you actually, can I ask you a question, Nigel?
Mm.
Do you listen to this show?
Sometimes, yeah. He's going to do that for me, is he?
He just did it, mate. You were watching the telly.
Oh, sorry. I missed it. I didn't know I missed it.
Well, you missed it.
Oh, well. I rang in the show to do one with you anyway.
Do it again. Do it again, Rob.
Right, Nigel, you coming in? Ready?
I'm listening, yeah.
He hails from England, or thereabouts. He's known as the man with the incredible musical fingers. He has many celebrity lovers, including Miley Cyrus. He is the one, the only, Nigel the Patrick, now!
It's Lindsay Lohan. No, it's Miley. I got it wrong.
You're doing what? You remember Pete and Dud, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, Nigel?
Yes.
They used to famously pretend to corpse. I never bought the Peter Cook and Dudley Moore corpsing. I think maybe they did it once or twice. Mm. They started laughing genuinely, but then I think if you watch them, I think they're faking it. And it felt like you were faking it then, Nigel.
No, I wasn't. I went wrong. I didn't mean to go wrong.
Okay. Anyway, the internet seems to crash, guys.
Sometimes that happens when you're trying to record a song as well.
Yeah.
You have to stop
listening to the person that's talking.
Do you want to sing with me?
Not tonight.
Oh. Well, I thought that we could do one together for recording.
Well, go on then. You start and I'll see if the mood catches me.
If you join in with me and record maybe you can remix it.
If the mood catches me, because I'm not feeling... I'm not feeling the vibe at the moment. I'm not feeling... Well, no, I'm talking, Nigel. Yeah. This is the thing you've got to learn, is to listen.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling the musical vibe this evening. I just feel... I'm tired and it's hot and I don't know. So let's see.
What? One, two, three... It's Miley Cyrus.
You're singing the same song. You can't... But what? You can't...
Sorry.
Why? You can't re-record the song that you've already done.
Oh, I didn't know we've done that one, recorded
No,
that
he
one.
Did Lindsay Lohan, but it's exactly the same tune.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Well, you know... it's the same... Yeah. You can't not know it's the same tune.
Yeah, but it's different words, isn't it?
Yes, but it's the same flipping tune.
Oh, okay. But you've recorded it. You played it last night, didn't you? Yeah, you played it last night.
Could I interject and throw in an idea?
Please do, mate.
Nigel, do you want Strictly Come Dancing?
Mm.
You've got to have quite a few lovely ladies on that. Why not write one of them a tune and then obviously send it in as a support and then maybe it will be, you know, get your notoriety. You've got Louise, who used to be an Eternal, Laura Whitmore.
Ian,
I don't think he wants to talk to you, Rob.
No. Have you got anything in mind when you want to make this song with me? What sort of thing do you want to do? Is it going to be a ballad or...
Well, we're going to record lots of songs together.
I thought you were just going to do the one.
Oh, Nigel.
I don't know what you want to do. But...
I predict a good...
What, an album?
Future.
Like an album?
Yeah, well, why the hell not?
Yeah, but you'd have to come to my place more than once, wouldn't you, to
no,
do that?
No, mate,
yeah.
Listen, yeah. Right, if Dan, the producer, can get a three-minute song out of a two-minute phone conversation, right,
yeah.
Out of basically 30 seconds of voice,
yeah,
he can get... I only need to put around for an hour, and we'll have a double album's worth.
Even in an hour, he could get a lot done, yeah. I see what you mean, yeah. So if I did a Miley Cyrus one in a different... tune.
All right, yeah, let's hear a Miley Cyrus.
If I can think of a different tune.
Away
right,
you so. Go.
Right, I'll have to think for a minute.
Just, mate, we're not. Here we go.
Sometimes Miley Cyrus, she sings a song or two. She likes to play a guitar as well. Sometimes Miley Cyrus, she has a laugh with you. She plays country western too, so join in with her too. Come on, join the gang, Miley Cyrus too. Come on, Miley Cyrus likes to play the guitar when she sings. Miley Cyrus likes to have a laugh with you and join in. Miley Cyrus, Miley Cyrus, Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus plays the guitar and sings along with you. Miley Cyrus plays the guitar and sings along with you.
Coming up in Miley Cyrus style, you now sitting there strumming away in front of me. Miley playing with the guitar, playing it hard. Miley Cyrus doing it styling now. Miley Cyrus, here she come now with the guitar. She the daughter of Billy Ray Cyrus. Miley Cyrus, ooh, she playing guitar and strumming in front of me. Miley.
Yeah, that's
hey,
one of those...
We just did it!
You know I'm a swing person. That's
yeah,
like
I don't want to know about
swing.
Your sexual life, Nigel. We
no,
just did
you
a...
You know, the old-fashioned swing back.
Oh, you mean, I thought you meant a swinger. Nigel, we just did... What we did there is we mixed genres. We're like... do you remember Jem? We're like Jem, in that you did an old-style ballad, and then I just got really urban, and I just laid down those some fat beats.
That's rap, though. It's rap music.
It's
yeah,
rap music, and yeah. I can hear those two intertwining. Let's
could
ask.
Could you teach me how to sing rap?
Yes,
then?
Of course I could. Of course I yes. could teach you
so
how
that,
to
maybe
sing
that's a thing
rap.
We could work
yes.
on. At
yes, yes. Yeah. Right, what we're going to do, Nigel, yeah. is I am going to come to your house, and I'm going to teach you how to sing rap. That's what I'm going to do.
It will be interesting.
It will be fun.
I have done it before, but I can't remember what it was too. But
did you like my rap?
Yes, it was right. Okay, yeah.
Let's ask the man on the street. Rob, what did you think?
That was up there with 21 Seconds by So Solid Crew for me in terms of one of the best urban songs. And I look forward to seeing you both at the Mobo Awards next year, where no doubt you will clean up.
Thank you very much indeed. Nigel, it would be my pleasure to come to your house and teach you how to rap. 0844 499 1000. Simon, stay there. You'll be next. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Evening, this is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. And this is a phone-in show, unlike any other phone-in show. On air at the moment, and I think you can tell why. If you want to take part, you don't need to have anything to say, necessarily. What's that buzz? Is that buzzing me? Could be my computer. Oh, no, that's what it is. Look, pulled my lead out. I knew there was something. A little bit of a problem with the old Wi-Fi, and I'm sorting it out. You don't need anything to phone in about. If you want to phone in and sing a song, or talk nonsense, or have a go because you think the show is rubbish, you're more... then welcome to 0844 499 1000. Simon!
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, 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 Simon. I'm just trying to... Well, I'm listening, but I'm fiddling with my phone while I try and get the periscope back on. But we'll see
what
happens.
Hello, my friend.
What you got for us, boss?
Miley, Miley, Bo Biley, Banana, Fana, Fo, Filey, Fee, Fi, Fo, Miley.
Miley.
Did you say... Well, I think you said something rude in there, but I'm not sure. Maybe I'm...
Ian, Bobby, Ian, Banana, Fana, Foy, Ian, Fifi, Moe, me, Ian.
Oh.
Ian.
Yeah. Okay. Any more?
What do you want me to do? Kath?
Yeah, well, yeah, go on then.
Kath, Bobas, Banana, Fana, Fofas, Fifi, Fomas.
Kath! When you put it like... Put it like that, it's actually quite simple, isn't it?
There's not a lot to the name game. But you brought up Shirley Ellis, who's fantastic, and I will direct you, but you won't actually listen because I know that's what you do, to the Clapping song.
Got the clap. I know the Clapping song.
Right.
She also did one about a diver, didn't she?
The Nitty Gritty's the other one that she did. It was really good.
She did. Hang on a minute. She did. I'm sure she did. She did. Indulge me for 30 seconds. I used to play this on 3CR. Listen to this. This is great. Oh, it's an advert. Hang on a minute. Skip the advert in 4, 3, 2. Oh, it looks quite good. Don't skip it. I skipped it.
Yeah.
This is a great song.
Ever in your life, see a diver kiss his wife. While the bubbles bounce about above the water.
Come again. Come again.
I've never leave a diver in my life, leave low, see no diver, diva, diva, no white, leave low. When you see the ocean in the bottom of no sea, while the bubbles bounce back from no water.
Well, if you're looking while they're kissing, you'll recognize the sight of a diver, diva, diva, that must be doing something right. Way beneath the ocean in the kingdom of the sea, while the bubbles bounce back.
Yeah, well, that's a... So it turns out Shirley Ellis is a bit of a character.
Ever See a Diver Kiss His Wife?
What a great song that is, huh?
May I recommend the Nitty Gritty?
Really? Let me just see. If I can get Shirley Ellis Best Of for less than £2, then Shirley Ellis... Oh, £27.95?
I'd go to YouTube, mate, and get the Nitty Gritty.
Yeah, all right. Well, just sing it to me.
Let's get back to the real nitty gritty rap that job. And that's as much as you're getting. Don't laugh at
Sinister, mate. No, you did it brilliant. I was laughing because I was overcome with glee at your wonderful performance. I wasn't laughing at it. No.
Do you know I was dancing as I was singing it?
I could feel it. I could feel your dancing vibe.
Double trouble, get back. Get down. Get real dizzy. I fully recommend it.
Nice one. Thank you, Simon. Anything else?
Good night.
Tutty bye. Tutty bye. Satdev. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
It's Satdev.
That's partly why I prefaced this call with, it's Satdev.
You said Dev.
I said Satdev.
Did you?
Yes.
Right, okay. So, yeah, I just called in to say that I'm excited.
In what sense excited?
I'm going on a holiday of a lifetime.
Euro Disney.
Pontins.
Is Pontins still going?
I think it is. I hope it is, because I'm going there on Friday.
They, the Pontins are the yellow coats, aren't they?
I'm not sure.
Are they yellow? They might be the blue. Right, so Butlins are the red coats. We've got that. One of them's the blue coats and one of them's the yellow coats. I think Pontins are, I'm going to say, yellow coats.
But have you been to Pontins or Butlins?
I went to Butlins many, many years ago, yeah.
Right, so I've not done any of that yet, so this is the first time I'm going, so I'm looking really forward to it.
I went to Butlins when I was about 7, and the only thing I can remember... Three things, OK? And I'll say them to you, Satdev, because this may apply to you. One was I turned up late for the treasure hunt, so I missed the treasure hunt.
Right.
Second one was I got told off in the theatre for talking during the magic show.
Right.
And the third thing was I watched an older kid stove in a mouse's head with a brick.
What?
So, those are my experiences. I don't know. I've only been once, and that those things happened to me. So I don't know if that's what normally happens.
Well, I hope not, because I'm just going there to sort of. I'm going to the Canberra Sands.
All right.
So that'll be like a bit of beach.
Yeah.
Bit of sun.
What are you going to Pontins for?
Just a holiday.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, just a little break. So I'm taking the kids and the wife.
Was that someone shouting at you in the background?
No one's shouting this time. That was last time.
Okay, I must. That's it. I must be hearing the echoes of our previous conversation.
That's right. You remember that. Ian, I wanted to ask you about this program I watched on Netflix.
Yes, mate. If it is, don't tell. There's not Stranger Things, is it?
No,
because that Stranger Things. Everyone's. Oh, have you seen Stranger Things? Have you seen Stranger Things?
Somebody did say to me about that today, but it's not that one.
It's rubbish. It's rubbish.
Oh, is it rubbish?
Stranger Things is style over content. People think they like it because it's reminiscent of E.T., The Goonies, and It.
Okay.
It's more It than The Goonies, actually.
Right.
But it's not actually very good. I've watched 6 out of 8 episodes, and here's the thing. I don't think I'm going to even bother to watch the last 2 episodes because that will register with Netflix that it'll be like, oh, he's watched... Because they send you emails. Oh, you like this? You might like this. And it'll register. Go, oh, he's watched 6 episodes of Stranger Things. He watched that in 3 days. That's pretty... He's not watched the last 2. And they might send me an email. And if they do, I'll reply. And I'll say... Right, they'll send an email... We've noticed you've watched 6 episodes of Strange Things, but not the last 2. What's wrong? And I'll reply going, it's rubbish. That's what's wrong. It's style over content. It's like eating a Chinese meal, but not a very good Chinese meal. And you feel kind of full and bloated, but then afterwards you go, oh, actually, it wasn't that good.
All right, I'm with you. Well, listen, I'm on episode 7 on The Cosmos.
Yes.
But I wanted to talk about The Secret.
The what?
The Secret.
Is that the name of the pro? What's The Cosmos? What's The Secret?
So The Cosmos is about the... Apparently there was an old version back in the 70s, and this is like a rerun of it, a remake. So it's about the universe and things like that.
Well, but like a documentary?
Yes, yeah, a documentary.
Okay.
But the one I'm talking about is called The Secret.
Yeah.
It's about an hour and a half. It's just a one-off thing.
So this isn't connected to The Cosmos?
No, it's not connected to The Cosmos.
Then can I ask, why did you bring The Cosmos up?
You started talking about episodes of another programme.
Well, but then you started talking about The Cosmos, and then you said The Secret. Well, I thought they were interconnected.
No. When I started the conversation, I said I wanted to talk about The Secret, but then you went off on your programme.
Yeah, thank you.
And so then I thought I'd talk about this programme, but then I want to talk about that programme.
Right.
So, can we talk about that one, then?
The Secret.
The Secret.
Yes, go for it.
Right, so it talks about sort of the law of attraction, sort of what you send out into the universe.
Oh, yeah.
Is what you attract back.
Yes, and in the end, the love you make is equal to the love you take.
Yeah, so saying that, you know, if you send out negative energy, then you will receive negative sort of stuff back, and if you send out positive energy, you receive positive
energy. So it's a fictional program, then?
Because
that sounds like bullshine to me.
Bullshine, sorry.
Thank you very much indeed.
I do apologise.
That's okay.
No, I don't actually think it is, actually, because recently I've been sending out a lot of positive energy.
No, you haven't.
And I've been receiving a lot of positive stuff back.
What is this positive energy you've been sending out?
Just when you're feeling sort of good about yourself and positive and you're smiling and...
So positive energy is smiling?
Well, yeah, smiling and just being nice to people and nice thoughts.
And what is negative energy, like killing children and stuff?
No, not killing children. Negative energy is like not giving the remote control to the missus.
What?
Okay. Or like... The kids want to watch a certain program and you're not allowing them. So that's negative stuff, isn't it?
Well,
Well, it depends what programme they want to watch and how much TV they've watched that day already and whether they've behaved or not.
Yeah, all other negative stuff could be like, you know, just negative thoughts.
We are not, you know. We're not responsible for our thoughts, though.
Well, of course we are.
No, of course we're not. We're responsible. We're responsible for our thoughts.
If we're not responsible for our thoughts, then who is?
Yeah, there's a question.
Yeah.
But thoughts, you know, I have thoughts
turn
like
into things, Ian. Thoughts turn into things.
No, they don't. I have thoughts about. Of course, they don't. I have thoughts sometimes about murdering someone, but
yeah,
that doesn't turn into a thing.
Yeah, it hasn't turned into it yet.
Yet.
So watch this space, or watch the news, or in a few time, you never know.
So your suggestion from this program is that by being more positive and saying yes more often than saying no, you receive more positive things in your life.
Yeah, so I was thinking that a lot more people should watch this because I think there's a lot of negative energy in the world.
Yes.
And just by watching this program, it can change people's perspective on life and just make it sort of a better place to live in. No?
I think there's something in it. Yeah, I think there's something in it. Why not?
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch anyway, because I know you're on Netflix. So I'd say give it a go, see what you think. You know,
So you've been more positive. What positive things have you received back?
Well, quite a lot, actually. I'm just feeling good about myself. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's not... that is a good thing. Of course it is. And yeah. You know, we should all hope to attain that. But that's not receiving positive energy, is it?
Yeah, I think it is. I think...
Where are you receiving that energy from?
From, like, the universe. So, because we're connected, aren't we? Because we're all made of stardust.
We are stardust, we are golden, yes.
Yep, so we're all connected, and so the universe responds to you kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know where I'm coming from, don't you?
I know exactly where you're coming from. Noel Edmonds' universal ordering.
Yep, so, that was it, really.
All right. Hey, nice one, man. If it's working for you, then groovy.
Yeah. Thank you,
man. And enjoy Pontins. I'm sure you and the family have a great time. I hope you don't see any older children stove in a mouse's head with a brick.
No problem, mate. I'll let you know all about it when I come back anyway.
Please do. Let me know what colour coats they're wearing.
All right, mate. We'll do.
Cheers, fella. Bye-bye, Satdev. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. It's an idea, isn't it? What you send out, you receive. But then, I don't know. 0844 499 1000. We call you back. Good evening. My name is Ian Lee. There's another hour of this. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
There's another hour of this metaphysical nonsense to wade through. Want to play? Honestly, anything goes, man. 0844 499 1000. I'm Ian Lee. You're listening to Talk Radio. More of it after the news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, it's where I'll always be. Stop, I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When new adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me, just grab your hat, come travel light, that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I wanna settle down.
down. Until tomorrow, the whole world is my home. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. Waiting to unfold a brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there when we paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, style. Maybe tomorrow I'll find what I call home. Until tomorrow, you know I'm free to roll.
Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. Another buzz stops. Another hour of this here every Monday to Friday, 10 to 1. Now, I'm supposed to be off for another couple of days. I'm supposed to be off next Tuesday, the 30th, because I'm going to Liverpool to see Mickey Dolenz, one of the Monkees, performing. He's in the country now, and he's going to be on GMTV and stuff. But I don't think I'm going to go. I don't think I'm going to go, because why? I can't be bothered. Can't be bothered is not good enough, Ian. Think harder. I don't know. It's a long old drive. It's a four-hour journey, because I'll drive up there. And I probably won't stay up there, so I'll drive back. So that's another 4 hours. And that's fine. I've driven to Liverpool and back in a night before. It's not a problem. And I would quite enjoy it. I just don't... Oh, it's a tough one, isn't it? I don't think I want to enjoy myself. There we go. There we go, guys. I don't think I want to enjoy myself. So I might not go to that. We'll see. I might be in next Tuesday. I'm going to decide on the day. But then the Friday after that, on the 9th, I'm taking my two boys, my youngest's first ever rock and roll concert, man. And we're going to go see the Bare Naked Ladies, which will be a lot of fun. I'm excited about that. And the boys will be thrilled, and the youngest will be terrified because he's never been to a rock concert, and the oldest has, and he'll act all, oh, this is what you do, don't worry, it's fine, you come and stand here, and blah, 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 blah. So, why am I telling you that? I don't really know why. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Tris, I'll come to you in a minute. Darren's up first. Evening, Darren.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Darren. You're right.
Yeah. I fast forwarded an audio clip, so I hope you listen to it.
I listened to a bit of it, yeah. Now, you're a cabbie.
Yes.
And recorded a bit of conversation with your fare.
Yeah, because he was so really unusual, like difficult, you know, like really anxious and sort of getting a little bit, I think, you know, maybe potentially violent, if you know what I mean. Yeah, because you don't know where the journey, like not the journey, but the actual person ends up, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He might end up just going... So I thought I'll record a piece of it, and that was the actual quiet part of it.
I listened to about 40 seconds of it, and it's a little. I couldn't really hear it very well. I could hear enough, and I'm sort of a bit busy during the news, so I couldn't listen to all of it. And I chose not to listen to all of it because it made me a little bit uncomfortable. But the bit
Why does it make you feel uncomfortable?
Because he was getting very agitated, and was. He sounded to me upset and not very well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. What? And he was the bit I heard. He was talking about double yellow lines and traffic lights or something.
Yeah, he's getting very anxious.
Yeah.
So he told me to pull over, and so I did. Initially, I did. But he looked behind him throughout the back window, and he's looking at the lights behind us.
Right.
So he's counting it down, you know, OCD, counting it down, so we can go when they change, we can go, right? So I can't do that, Ian, if you know what I mean. I can't just keep pulling over on his whim.
No.
Because when I cut the audio off, he goes, right, there's a 55 bus. He went, stay behind it. Don't overtake it. And he kept shouting. I goes, listen, I can pull over for you. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
I goes, but I can't have you shouting. And he goes, I want to smash my glasses. Like he's saying, he's going to start hitting himself, yeah?
Right.
And I'm a cab driver. I'm not a psychiatrist, right?
No.
And so, it's, you know, I'm really sort of capable of dealing with it, if you know what I mean, Ian. Do you know what I'm saying? I've got four boys, right, and they're a little bit disruptive, and I can deal with that, but I can't really deal with somebody that gets in and they're like that. I'm not, do you know what I mean? And so I'm trying to deal with it in my very, very, what's it called, clumsy way.
Well, were you worried that it was going to get violent? I mean, I don't want you to describe the man too much, just in case. But roughly, sort of, what age was he?
So he looked like he looked a decent bloke. So, like, for me, I make judge calls. Like, when I pull over and look at someone, right, I go no or yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, right? So he looked good. He was fine. He, you know, nothing. But he got in, and then as soon as he got in, once somebody gets in the cab, they're my responsibility. So, you know, so if I don't like someone, they stay out, and if they get in, then, you know, it's my problem. But anyway, he seemed a fine fella, but then he started going into his routine, and, I can't really give it a sort of logistic response to him, if you know what I mean, because he was going into one, and he started sort of... almost crying, and I'm thinking, right, well, what am I meant to do here? Because he said he wanted to go to one place, then he said he wanted to go somewhere else, and I'm thinking, right, I don't know what I'm meant to do with this fella now, because he's in my cab, he's literally, I'm stuck.
You sound a bit upset.
Well, it's... I don't feel like I'm able to accommodate him in as much as I'll take it. You know, I'm not a psychiatrist, so and I do feel empathetic for the fella, but I don't know who he is. I don't know what he's going to do, and I don't know what his potential is. Do you know what I mean?
Can I ask you a question? And it might sound like a rude question, but there's a point to it. Do you feel bad? You kicked him out of the cab, didn't you?
No, I didn't. No.
Did you ask him to leave?
No, I didn't. I actually took him to where he wanted to go.
Right, okay.
Changes.
Yeah.
And the irony of it is, Ian, when he got out, he went, what football team do you support? And I went, West Ham. But honestly, he was, he was getting a bus. He was actually getting a... I was taking him to a bus stop on just off of St John Street, near Lever Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, what were you going
to
say?
I thought that you'd asked him to get out of the cab, and I was just going to ask if you felt bad that you'd done that. And he paid the fare.
He did. But, Ian, he was spinning, he was getting, mental. And when he said when I cut the audio clip on the phone...
Yeah.
He said, don't overtake this bus. He went, don't overtake this bus. He went, and he started shouting. I goes, mate, listen, I can't not overtake no buses. And I said to him, I goes, you need to calm down. He went, I'm going to smash myself in the face. He went, I'm going to smash my glasses. I'm going to smash my... He started saying, I'm going to smash my glasses. Well, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't know what am I meant to do?
Well, I'm not quite sure what question you're asking, Darren.
Well, I am and I ain't. All I'm saying is, just trying to sort of show everybody the kind of people, or not the kind of people, but the variant of people that come into a cab. Do you know what I mean, right?
Oh, so, yeah.
You have to deal with the whole spectrum, right? And for me, that was one extreme of which, I don't really feel like I know what to do. Do you know what I mean? He's in my cab. He might as well... Because when people get in my cab, it's like an extension of my living room.
Yeah, yeah, of course. It's my They're in your workplace.
It's my personal space.
Yeah.
So as much as I'm doing a job, and I'll always do it to the nth degree, and I always look after the people that get in my cab, and professional, I just feel that when people get, I felt a little bit, on edge.
Yeah. Well, your responsibility, I imagine, is your own personal safety, primarily, because you're a dad, and, your boys want you to go home all in one piece. So ultimately, and I know you've got that thick glass and stuff, but you have to feel... We're all entitled to feel safe and comfortable in our jobs. And it sounds like that you didn't feel safe.
No, that's right. So I'm trying to manage a situation, and the geezer, like I said, he gets in and he says he wants to go one place, yeah. And he changed it three times, right? So then I'm thinking, he's going to get me on a wild goose chase here, right? Because I'm thinking...
Why didn't you ask him to get out?
No, because I'll take it. I'll see it through.
Even if he changes his mind three times.
Yes. I will, Ian. Right, because I've got responsibility. Right, and I know my job, but I'm not going to skirt my responsibilities. Right.
Yeah.
And so he changed it first. He changed it second, and then he changed it third. And in my head, I thought, well, if he changes it anymore, then I'm going to pull over.
That's it. He's had his last go, yeah.
So, I'll give it benefit of the doubt and I'll do my bit. Do you know what I mean? So
it sounds like... But, Darren, it sounds like you did what you had to do. You did your job, which was to get him from A to, D, eventually. And Z. You did that, Z. And you did that and you delivered him safely. And you got paid, and I don't know if you did ask how were you supposed to deal with it? Well, you dealt with it, didn't you? You got him from A to Z, and
I did. That's what I did. But I'm it's nice to share it with other people.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so other people can just listen, and that's all. You know what I mean?
Do you? Because I don't envy your job, and I don't envy minicabs and black cat any of that. The thought of a stranger getting in the back of your car you're trusting that they're going to give you some money and not do you over. I think it's nuts. But so respect to everybody that does all the various different versions of your job. Do you, when you get with other cabbies, do you say, we had a right old nutter in the car last night?
Yeah,
you have all that, yeah.
Yeah.
So you share.
But the thing is, you get to, I'm a London taxi driver, so I'm not a minicab driver.
No.
So I'm the one that takes credit cards. No, I'm not going to bore you, but anyway, when someone approaches the window, you make a snap judgment, right?
Yeah.
So it might be, if they look, you think drug dealer.
Yeah.
Or you think, ooh. But you make assumptions, right?
Yeah, of course,
But the thing is, it's what it is, and it might be wrong what I think. So I think drug dealer, wrong, and this, that, or the other. So you have to make those quick assumptions.
Yes.
Which everybody tries to steer away from.
No, but we all... Everybody does that.
You can't categorise anybody. You can't pigeonhole anybody.
No, but
that's what you have to do in this job.
We all do... Everybody does it. I do it. Everybody does it. You see someone and you make a snap judgment.
Yeah, but that's not politically correct, if you know what I mean. If you should say out loud what you thought, wouldn't be correct, would it? Because you couldn't say, I don't like the look of you. But in my job, you look at someone, you think, no, you're not getting in. Bye. And that's it.
You're not allowed to do that, though, are you? I thought you had to. If you got your light on and you see someone with their arm out,
they look like they won't pay. If they look like they won't pay, then yeah, you are.
Well, hang on. How do you know? What? In what way would you judge they look like they won't pay?
So they're inebriated.
Right, yeah. I can understand.
Yeah, So if there's any inference that they look like they won't pay, you're more than entitled to refuse.
Have you finished for the night?
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen.
I thought I'd just share that anyway.
Well, no, and I appreciate you sharing that, Darren. Thank you very much. You've given us an insight, and you sound a lot calmer than you did about 12 minutes ago. So I hope that we've helped.
No, it's just being on the radio, so I'll hyperventilate.
Am I allowed to wind you up one little bit?
Yeah.
How do I find out my Uber rating?
Oh, mate. Well, check your bank account. It might be £500 light.
Thank you, Darren.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over.
Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
That was Darren number two, for those asking on Twitter, at Ian Lee, IAINLEE. Someone sent me an angry tweet yesterday. Why hasn't Talk Radio got an app? Well, it has got an app. It's got the Talk Radio app. I don't know how you find it. I've got Apple, iTunes, iPhone, and I found it by typing in Talk Radio and it pops up. So you just do that. Just type it in and it'll pop up, I guess. I don't know. Do that. Yes, Tris.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, 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 Tris.
How are you, fella?
I woke up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Yep.
And all I had to do today, the only thing I had to do was mow the lawn. I hate mowing the lawn. I thought, right, I'm 10 o'clock, I'm going to get up in a minute and mow the lawn. Then suddenly it was 12:30, right? 12:30 of the hottest day of the year, I get up, mad dogs and Englishmen go and mow their lawns at 12:30 on the hottest day of the year. And I mowed the lawn, and I'm blessed, Tris, that I have quite a big lawn. And for some reason, my wife has replaced our adequately sized lawnmower. I guess it broke, but she with a really tiny lawnmower, tiny. And I did it, and it took about an hour. And
you're pleased with the outcome, no?
No, it looks rubbish. It looks rubbish, and I did it.
It's only grass, mate, isn't it?
It's only grass, and I did it because it was like my job I had to do when everyone was away, and they come back on Saturday, and I did it, and I went and sat in the garden. I listened to Six Music, and I read my Mike Love book, and then I started feeling a bit positive. I was going to... that was it. I did a Periscope where I was, like, working out some Imani Coppola songs on the ukulele, right?
Yeah.
I was enjoying that, and then I played... I worked out the chords to the Lindsay Lohan song and I played that acoustic style. It was a lot of fun. And then I went and sat in the garden. And then I just crashed. Then I just suddenly, I had the weight of the world just suddenly fell on me. And I thought, oh, flipping it. I can't. And I went to bed. Just the weight. Yeah. I just felt everything crashing down on me. And I felt terrible, absolutely terrible. So I went to bed and I couldn't sleep. I just lay in bed for a couple of hours feeling rotten, Tris. Absolutely rotten. Man. So
I'm feeling loads of though. I'm still on my diet and that's still getting no easier. But I've been trying to make what I thought were healthy choices.
Uh-oh.
And I've been having like granola and stuff like that. And it's just sugar, mate.
Yeah.
35 gram serving, 14.1 grams of sugar.
Yep.
Well, I could be eating Haribo every morning, couldn't I?
Yeah.
Be a lot happier.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's the thing that with the sugar in everything, man. It's in everything. And I start the day thinking, right, because I weighed myself yesterday and I was heavier than when I first started trying to lose weight a month ago.
So, oh, mate.
Flipping it. So today I thought, right, I'm doing it. I'm going to ride my bike and I'm going to... And I didn't. And mowing the lawn was good exercise. That was an hour's exercise. But then I just went out for a burger tonight. Guess why you're getting fat, dude? Because you're eating that rubbish.
So easy, isn't it? And the bloody family is... I'm finding it hard being a dad today.
Why, what's happened?
I'm finding it... Oh, nothing. They're just... Kids are hard work. Me and the wife are bickering. Yeah. And, you know, you just get days where you think, oh... I could just sink away and not
sack all this off.
This.
Yeah.
And I work all night, and that's hard work anyway, isn't it? And it's just like, oh, nothing distinctly wrong. I just felt very deflated that all this sort of good stuff I thought was pumping into my body isn't good. And
they lied to you, man. It's a conspiracy. They lied to you, man. Those granola guys, they're liars.
Yeah, they're out to get you, man.
I don't think there's anything... Nothing's good for you, right?
Because when I was, when I was a kid, until about a year ago, like, orange juice was good for you. But now orange juice, like, proper orange juice, not the concentrate, the made from fresh juice, that's full of sugar.
Yeah, I know. You can't have anything, can you? You cannot have anything. You can't be happy. And I've just decided that's my thing today.
Maybe we need to do what SatDev suggested, and we need to start sending out some positive energy.
Oh, I don't buy into all that, to be honest.
I would like to know where I could buy some positive energy from.
Surely everyone would just be happy. If thinking positively made you happy, we wouldn't know any different, would we? We'd all be doing always.
I have moments in my life, right, when I believe, you know affirmations, yeah?
Yeah.
Where you say, like, I'm a good man, I deserve to be happy, I'm a good dad. You know, you do these things. I kind of believe that they can have a positive impact, right? And that by continually having negative thoughts, you kind of program your brain. I'm not saying this is the cause of depression at all, right? Before anyone says that, right? But by continuing thinking, oh, I'm worthless and I'm a piece of whatever, I'm worthless, I'm worthless, I'm worthless, that your brain gets into the pattern, neural pathways, guys. You program your neural pathways to act in that way, to believe that you are worthless and that you are a piece of whatever and da da da. And I've read up on it, right? And psychologists and psychiatrists, some of them believe that by having affirmations, you can reprogram these neural pathways, right? Mm. And I kind of believe it. And I don't think it cures clinical depression. And I don't think it's going to make you go jump out of bed and go, wow, the world is wonderful. But I do think it can be a tool in my toolbox that can help direct me towards a happier existence. Does that make sense?
I mean, I suppose it's just boils down to not dwelling on things, doesn't it?
A little bit, but this is by actually repeating, you know, like, I don't know, 100 times, I'm a good man, I'm a good man, I'm a good man, I'm a good man. Not saying at the end of it you're going to think, oh, yeah, actually, I'm a good man. You might not, but it can just, I believe, and people that I trust believe, it can change some of your thoughts, some of one's thought patterns.
I mean, possibly. I mean, I've never really bought into stuff like that, but different things work for different people, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, man. If it works for you, baby, then keep on keeping on. Keep on trucking.
Yeah, you give it a go, mate. You know, I've been exploring the Beach Boys catalogue in a bit more detail.
Yes, sir. Whereabouts are you now?
Well, because I've had, like, 9 or 10 albums, I've been jumping all over the place.
Yeah.
And recently been listening to L.A. Light album.
Oh, Now, that's a tough one, right?
It had a top...
It's Lady Linda's on that album, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brit, that went to number 3 in the UK charts in 1979. No one's heard of it. Went to number 3. I love that record. Even with the 12-minute disco version of Here Comes the Night on there. I love that record. I think it's a great record.
That's what I'm getting. I think that's where it gets tricky. You flip it over and it's like, oh, what's this?
Yeah, I know. I like that. It's tough to sit through it. You take that out. The other dud on there, I think, is Shortening Bread. Oh, Shortening Bread and Sumahama, the Japanese thing. But you've got Good Timing, which is a brilliant song. You've got some cracking Dennis songs, Angel Come Home and Baby Blue. When my angel comes home, it's been hell living here alone. That's brilliant. I like Going South as well, even though the first time I heard it, I hated it. It's a grower.
Yeah.
I think it's a great record.
I've only listened to it twice. So far, I'm not taken either way, really. It seems like something I need to store away for a little bit and then come back to and see how I reappraise it.
Hang on a second. Reappraise this. Hang on. Listen to this. This is a stunning Beach Boys song. Indulge me for a minute, Tris. Listen to this, man. Dennis Wilson wrote this, man. Listen to this. Comes Dennis to make things sexy.
Late at night when the whole world's sleeping, I dream of you. Close to you, I feel your sweet heart beating. I dream of you. Late at night, honey, late at night, I dream of you. I dream of
Chris.
No, that's good.
That is a flipping good song. That, I think it comes straight after Angel Come Home. Oh, man alive. That is what it's all about, Tris.
But, you know, I'm becoming a fan of them, but the problem is I've heard 20 years ago,
yeah,
it's an album I love,
yeah,
and I got into Sunflower recently,
yeah,
and I don't think anything's going to beat them.
No, I do like the Wild Honey, Friends, 2020, and what's the other one? Smiley Smile, not quite so much. Wild Honey, Friends, and 2020, for me.
I've never got on with Smiley Smile. I've had that for years.
No, I don't like Smiley Smile. Smiley Smile's silly, because they've given up on Smiley,
yeah,
Smile.
And I've never really rated Pet Sounds either.
I'm not,
it's all right.
Yeah, Pet Sounds is all right. We're not allowed to say that, Tris. Tris, yeah. I've got to go. Always happy to geek off on the Beach Boys.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. Tick your Rajar diaries now for your chance to win a super prize. Leslie!
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Leslie. How are you, sir?
Not too bad. Good afternoon.
Good what?
Good afternoon.
Thank you. What have you got for us, madam?
Yeah, what it is, I've just come on to talk about
You heard about that new planet that they just found?
Yeah, they found a new planet that can support life, they reckon, yes.
And it takes 20 years to get there.
Yep.
Imagine you and your family, little kid,
yeah,
traveling,
mm-hmm,
and your little boy are saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And you said, no. And then he's... Then
we've not even taken off. They've not even finished the countdown yet.
Oh.
20 years, Leslie, of are we there yet?
Yeah, and by the time you arrive, you're preparing your little son's wedding.
Well, hang on a minute. Who's going up in there? Who's going up there with us? Do I have to go with them, Leslie?
Well, you have to, because your boy would be a little baby then, wouldn't you know?
Well, can't they go with their mum? And I stay at home, and I have the house to myself.
Why is that?
Well, I could watch their progress from the television.
Why.
Yes, why?
I know why.
Pourquoi?
You'll be all beardy and probably be a granddad by then, wouldn't you know, by the time you get there.
Are you saying I'm old? What's an earthy...
Because you'll be you'll be 20 years.
Yeah, well, yes, I will. But for me to be a granddad, then there would have to be. Are there other families on this? Hey, a big plane crash near you today, didn't it?
Where?
Oh.
Oh no, it's not near me. I already. It was one of those planes that they're testing.
The big bum. It's
like
called
an airship.
It's the bum plane, isn't it? Because it looks like a bum.
Yeah.
It's the biggest plane in the world, and it's a cross between an airplane and an airship, and it looks like a massive bum, and it's in Bedfordshire somewhere, near Luton somewhere. And
no, it's in Stevenage.
Is it in Stevenage?
I think.
All right. And it was their second ever test flight,
and it
crashed.
And it's not taken off yet.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be buying tickets for that.
You know the reason why it hasn't been taken off yet?
Go on.
Because where it's been built is too close to Luton.
Why would
you? You know Luton, don't you?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh, see what I'm saying?
I worked there for 3 years.
I know.
Oh, man alive.
You still got some fans around.
Well, I enjoyed the job and I enjoyed the people that I worked with, some of them. But Luton was a tip.
Luton was a what?
Luton was a delightful place to work, Leslie. I enjoyed every second of wandering around there.
And you could walk outside your studio, not been mugged?
Not been mugged. Literally just outside the studio. If you went 20 yards away, it got a little bit rougher. But yeah. We did have someone we had at least one person who worked there who got attacked.
Did he?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, young
they, kept that, shut hush, don't they?
Well, the police got involved and he got done, didn't he? He got done, the fella that did it, yeah.
Oh, and I think in Luton, always a nice place.
Leslie, there is talk, isn't there? And do you remember, it was about a year ago, 2 years ago,
uh-huh,
there was a load of people around the world, including three or four Brits, including two hot girls, right? And they were all the girls involved were hot and most of the men were geeky. There were 100 people that were going to enter a television competition to be the first people to go to Mars. Do you remember this? And
no.
It was a big thing, right? And it was made by... Do you remember this, Kath? It was a big thing. And it was a local person.
Was that a movie?
No. It was going to be a TV quiz show, right?
Oh.
And there was like 100 people from around the world, and they were all hot girls or geeky-looking men, right?
Uh-huh.
And the thing was, it was going to be a big TV show, and at the end of the TV show, they'd have 5 people from around the world. So they whittle the contestants down from 100 to 5, and the 5 would go to Mars on a mission... to Mars, and it was big hype and big, and everyone was talking about it, and these people were being interviewed, and this was about 18 months ago, and I remember at the time saying, nah, this will never happen, and what a surprise, we've not heard from any of those people since. Now, they've either gone to Mars,
I think they went.
Or they've been murdered, or...
No, I don't think they've been murdered. I think they went to Mars.
Did they actually go to Mars, did they?
Well, I think I think so.
Oh.
And it take a little while for them to return back.
I think it's 4 years to Mars. I think it's 4 years.
Well, I'd rather go to Mars than
Mars might be, Mars might be 10 years. 10 years to get, so it's 20 years to get to this other planet. Here's the thing, right? If this planet is 20 years away, how can they tell it'll be good for life?
Ian,
hello.
I'm talking off Mars, right?
Yes.
I've worked at British Aerospace in Stevenage, yeah.
Yes.
Right, because I'm a security guard, and I tell you, there's some amazing thing in that.
Which you're probably not allowed to tell us. You probably signed us an official secrets.
No, I signed nothing.
Oh, beautiful. Well, then what have you seen?
Right. And I've seen how they built all the satellites that, you know,
don't see saying this.
And things like that.
The Russians or the Chinese will be racing over to your house now, Leslie.
I don't mind, as long as they've got a checkbook.
Well, they won't have a checkbook, but they will certainly put matchsticks underneath your fingernails. And they'll put electricals on your testicles. Try and jumpstart that whole thing.
What?
Yes.
What? Ways of making me talk.
Yes. They've got ways of making you talk.
Yes, as I said, as long as they've got a checkbook.
The way to make you talk is to give you the phone number of a phone-in radio station, and you'll be singing like a canary. Leslie, it's always a pleasure. Thank you. 0844 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well. The show slowly winds to an end. I'm tired tonight, man. Really tired. There's still time to call in. We don't do straight to air during the week. We do it on Friday. So here, Monday to Friday, 10 till 1. And the last hour of the show on Friday, we take calls straight to air. And next Friday, next week, the 2nd of September. September, nearly Christmas. We are inviting everybody to come down to the studio and watch us do the show. How will it work? Haven't got a clue. We're going to do it from downstairs where Virgin Radio have their sessions. Hopefully, I've got to reply to the email. I'll do that tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have the Rocking Birds here to do a couple of songs. They are awesome. Hopefully we'll have Pete Heat here, who is a brilliant magician. We'll have, we might, Neil Hannon, we're recording the day before, so we might play that out then, and we might play that out the week after. But Neil Hannon's coming on the show. So that should be good, shouldn't it? I'm not going to tell you the address. You'll have to find the address yourself. And you'll have to make your own way here and make your own way back. All right? We're not responsible for any of that. But if you can find the address, a genuine offer, if you can find the address, you can come down. Between 10 and 1, you can stay for some of it, you can stay for all of it, you can come and go and sit on the floor and watch as we do the show from downstairs. How's about that? How's about that, Alan?
So, unfortunately, but unfortunately, I won't be able to make it because I've got to fork up for the train fare.
Yeah, we go, you see. So, there is a God.
But I shall call in as normal.
Yeah. Oh, well, people will still be able to call in. So so that'll be something. Hang on a minute, you've been on already, Alan. We must have run out of callers to have you on for a second time.
And I'm on, and the moon invaded SoundCloud.
Say that again.
You know the puns we made?
I'm going to say yes.
It's on SoundCloud.
Oh. Isn't that, well, there you go. You see these things. Isn't it funny how technology works? It's almost as if... we are promoting this show ourselves.
Yeah, and Kath gave one on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Low, a new pun, and I said, living low lights.
Okay, I feel that moment has passed, but thanks for trying to recreate it. Hey, Alan, here's a question. We all know that you're a big karaoke man. Oh,
yeah.
By the way, 0844 499 1000. We call you back, guys. But what do you like to listen to at home?
Queen.
Huh?
I like a bit of Freddie Mercury.
Oh, Queen.
Yeah.
I never got Freddie Mercury.
taken before his time.
Well, yeah, he as a lot of them were, a lot of the pop stars were. Just on my my timeline on Facebook, I'm reminded of the excellent Harry Nilsson documentary, and I'm also reminded that somebody whose name escapes me because it's late has sent me a load of Harry Nilsson DVDs, and that is what I'm going to do tomorrow, Alan. I'm going to go online and pay some bills, and then I'm going to spend the afternoon watching Harry Nilsson DVDs.
And also, Mickey Dolenz is on the weekend.
He's on TVAM, or whatever it's called these days.
It's called Weekend.
Is it called Weekend, is it?
Yeah, with Ali Jones.
With Ali Jones. Well, didn't want to come on this show. That's fine. That's fair enough. That's fine. Well, I will catch. I'm sure someone will tape it for me. And
other recording devices are available.
Other recording, but none are as effective as the VHS video recorder, Alan.
But no one uses analog anymore. It's all digital.
But some people still use video recorders.
No, but it's no good if you can't get me an analog signal.
But you can hang on a minute. You can still record TV.
Not digital TV.
What? You can't record the telly from on a VHS.
No, that's right. Because when they close the analog signals,
what?
You can't record on VHS because it's all digital. So you have to go on your set-top box to record it.
Oh, flipping heck. In that case, I'm going to look into getting one.
You can use your satellite set-top box or your cable set-top box, or you might use your Freeview set-top box if you've got it built in.
I've got a Sky box, right, but we haven't got Sky anymore. We've not had Sky for about a year because we didn't really watch that much TV, and we get the internet. We get the internet through, but no, we don't have any Sky package, and we had the cheapest Sky package you could get, like $21.99, I think it was a month, right? Cheapest package, and then we just thought, we don't use it, so we're going to get rid of it, and we got rid of it, right? Boy, oh boy, and I was stealing myself for the big conversation where they try and tempt you to stay with loads of offers.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They went, OK, well, thanks a lot for your being a customer for so long. Good luck. And that was it. But now I get letters all the time from Sky saying, come back to Sky and we'll give you 50% off.
Begging letters.
Well, begging letters. And then this fella, right, phoned me up the other day. And he said, you used to be a Sky customer. I said, yes, I did. And I indulged him. I decided I was going to talk to him. I said, yes, I did. He said, what would I need to do to get you to come back to Sky? And I said, well, you could give me £1 million. He said, well, that's not going to happen. How about we give you 50% off? And I said, no.
Like it said in the begging letter.
Yeah. And I said, no. He said, how about 50% off and free movies for 3 months? I went, nah. Not going to do it. And he thought, well, he got a tough one here. He said, right, how about 50% off, free movies for 3 months, and we give you another box for free for 6 months to put anywhere in the house? I went, mate, I'm honestly not interested. We don't watch the telly anymore because it's rubbish and they don't give me enough jobs, so I'm not bothered. So, no, thank you very much indeed. And with that, the conversation was ended. But it just goes to show, Alan, if you push them... I used to have, when I was on LBC, oh, I just crushed my testicles. I used to have a VIP box. Do you know what a VIP, I had two VIP boxes. Do you know what the VIP box is?
Never heard of them.
Or you get, means you got, you can have multi, so I had two, one downstairs and one in the bedroom. All the channels for free. All of them for free. Or not the mucky ones, you still had to subscribe to them, which was a faff. But all of the channels, all of them, the movies, sports, all the sports, 1, 2, 3, all the movies, all the sports.
Sky One.
It's Sky One. Everything for free.
Sounds promising.
Then I left LBC. And literally within a week of me leaving LBC, I got a letter from Sky saying, we hope you enjoyed your VIP package. We're coming next week to take one of the boxes back and turn off all your channels.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Nowadays, you can buy an Amazon Fire Stick.
Oh.
And get Cody on there.
No, you can't. You don't know what you're talking about. Shut up. You're not meant to. But here's the thing, and this is the rumour I'm going to start. Because we've been taken over by Murdoch and News Corp.
Yeah, which is Sky.
Which is Sky. All the presenters, and it should just be the presenters, I think, to keep that class difference. All the presenters should get the VIP packages back, shouldn't they?
Yeah, it should.
They don't cost them anything. They don't cost Sky anything. They should let us have that.
Murdoch should be paying for it.
You're right, Murdoch should be paying for it. And instead of toilet paper, we should have fivers.
Yeah, or tenners.
No, let's not be greedy, Alan.
No, I mean, tenners for the execs.
Yeah, tenners for the execs. Five. I mean, even if it's the toilet paper is made of fivers, that's still, you know, 25, 30 quid a dump.
Sounds promising.
Doesn't it sound promising? You see, things are on the up. We thought it was a negative. It could be a positive. Dear listener, that's it. It's your lot. We mentioned the Beach Boys' L.A. album, Light album. And this is another cracking song from it that may or may not play all the way through. Let us see. Ta-ta.
Chair to chair, but that empty one's there where she used to sit. I'm sitting here going out of my mind, but she's gone away. She couldn't wait, now I'm afraid it's too late. I'm waiting till my angel comes home.
Entertainment across the nation.
Talk radio.
Give it some lip.